Hello everyone, my name is Seb and I have some executive advice for you. This is especially relevant for automotive decision makers under pressure. I'll give you some solutions and insights that you don't want to miss. Enjoy the podcast from systemgorilla.com. Being in automotive management these days can be a really tenuous task. So many new requirements all the time, so many stakeholders, and absolutely no stability in the overall situation. Absolute dynamics. What are you gonna do about it? Well, if you ask yourself that very same question, I have some clarity for you. You can spend your next couple of minutes wisely by listening to that podcast and remembering why it is important to know your drivers, which are the current drivers of the business and where the prognosis goes, and last but absolutely not least, to know about your intentions following these drivers. Enjoy. Let me lose some words on the importance of knowing your drivers. Let's assume you wanted to wander through the woods. You had a certain goal that you wanted to reach, and now you're wandering through there. There's no map, there's no real navigation, but you know the direction towards your goal. So that's perfect, right? The only thing that keeps you away from just walking straight from A to B is the topology of the woods that you're in. Perhaps there's a ditch, perhaps there's a river, perhaps there's such shrubs that you cannot just follow through directly. So it will steer you a little bit away from your goal. If you know the topology up front, by the way, those are your business drivers, you know how to react when there's a windy river coming that keeps you from going directly towards your goal. You know how you have to react when you want to operate your business at peak level. And also, you know how you can react when the times there are changing. So circumstances, boundary conditions are constantly changing. Drivers pretty much stay the same lately. From that, you can create a versatile strategy and basically also know who to team up with. So supplier selection criteria will also derive from knowing the drivers. So let's go right into it. What are the current drivers that we have to deal with on a larger scale? And where's the prognosis going for them? Number one driver. When I talk to automotive decision makers, ADAS, so autonomous driving systems, are always a pain point. They come with a lot of regulation, safety requirements, cybersecurity requirements, and so on and so forth. AI models go into that as well, sensor fusion, so all the high tech the industry can imagine. As you might know, the autonomous driving use case comes with a big but. There's a lot of investment up front, there's a lot of insecurity about how the legislation will go on, there's a lot of trust of customers to be buying all of these vehicles and make them a profit. So some people say this will be the future of our driving. So some car driving us instead of us driving that car. Prognosis goes so. Many people and companies have realized in the meantime that autonomous driving is probably not going to be a short or mid-term profit. So the industry has realized that there's more efforts to spend to get level 4 autonomy on the road. This might take a longer time, and that at the same time make the business case unusually long-term to develop. Do you want to stay in the game, or do you want to cut yourself out until the real benefits get visible? Many decision makers I talk to have decided to favor staying in the game, spending a lot of money on the development of further L4 security and safety standards, and basically waiting for it to finally make some money. Second biggest pain point for automotive decision makers is usually the propulsion system, drivetrain, powertrain, however you want to call it. So the whole discussion between do we electrify our whole fleet, or will we stay with some conventional internal combustion engines, All of that influences the business model of manufacturers as well as suppliers tremendously. The strategy for electrification for many bears in mind the question for what is the appropriate business case. Do we substitute a running cash cow like our conventional engine fleet by something that's actually not providing the same return of invest upfront, like we see it in electric vehicles? How long is this still gonna go on? Prognosis at that point is very clear. Legislation requirements are getting harder and harder to meet if you stay and stick to just conventional propulsion systems. So, if you want to stay in the market as a manufacturer or as a tier, you must participate in electrification and be prepared. Requirements are gonna get more. Third biggest concern for automotive decision makers, product and user connectivity. Wait, what does that actually mean? Well, when we're talking about the product, we're usually referring to the vehicle as a system. And if the product bears connectivity, that also means there's a direct connection usually to you as the manufacturer or to your cloud services. And what does that get you? Well, two nice things. You can get real-life data from the vehicle in operation, which was something unthinkable of just 20 years ago. And also, you can send commands to the vehicle that it will later on be applying, for example, in a user software update. So, fancy thing, this product connectivity. But on the other hand, what was that user connectivity again? User connectivity, on the other hand, refers to the connection of the vehicle towards the driver and all the passengers inside. Especially the driver is supposed to get a feeling of real interaction with the vehicle. You can do that by ambient lighting the vehicle in that moment that the driver takes his keys. You can do it by showing his name on the dashboard. You can do it by connecting his iPhone to the vehicle and make his playlist available for all passengers. There's so many interaction ways, and let's be honest about that. That's a reason why people nowadays buy a new car, because it gets them a feeling of connectedness. This is a unique buying reason. As a prognosis for the next years, you can expect that connectedness to be a central driver for all automotive businesses. And why is that? In a self-driving vehicle, in an electric vehicle that doesn't have a specific characteristic anymore, do you really think there's anything else than just the connectedness the driver and passenger feel towards the vehicle that would keep them be your customers? Be assured that the way that your product is connecting with the passenger and driver is actually shaping the way that they decide for or against their next vehicle brand. And that's gonna go on. Also, very important topic for many decision makers in the auto industry, uprising nationalism and regional legislation. Both topics are of some concern because they seem to be so actively pushed and also ever-changing. So what do we do about it? Nationalism in many ways keeps you from trading the products where you want them, at what point in time you want them, and without any restrictions. Regional legislation has pretty much the same goal. Well, not really. But it really keeps you from doing the very same thing, selling your products freely. So what can we do here? There's three different possibilities. First thing, diversify yourself when you partner up with businesses. Second thing, keep close shoulder contact with legislators to figure out where they are gonna go and assure them that you're on the right track. Third possibility, keep an agile mindset. With that ever-changing boundary conditions, nobody can predict the future and know for sure what's gonna be happening in 1 year. So, be flexible in your mindset and also all of your approaches. And make it clear from the start in all of your collaborations that you're expecting the same from everyone else. And here comes a secret tip from SystemGorilla.com. This is a driver nobody really likes to talk about. Local market saturation. Just imagine how many vehicles we have just released in the last couple of decades. If you count them all up, you'll be heading towards the hundreds of millions. You would assume at one point every inhabitant of this world has its own vehicle, but far from it. We're keeping on producing. The market is not necessarily getting bigger, so saturation effects will set in, and now it comes to the players that can differentiate their products and, we're back to connectedness, can connect their products in a beneficial way with the user, driver in this very case. So you realize again, especially in the premium segment, the next market shares will be decided by your individualism, connectedness, and the right mix of technology. As mentioned, last but absolutely not least, I want to plant some nice intentions in you. Why is that a good idea? You can use them very wisely later on when making good decisions for your company in the long run. First, focus on long life product quality, because that's what people keep in mind and they will come and buy from you over and over again and also refer them to their family and friends. You know what? It's all about long life quality. Everything the customer can see, can experience, or has to pay for in any way has to be robust, safe, and useful. This is bringing me to my next intention. Create useful, innovative features. Many features nowadays are pushed into the market without the customer even realizing that he needs something new. Don't be that guy. Design features that really solve people's problems. Start with the client's perspective and then work your way towards a nice product. And come in with that as a third intention, be flexible in your mind, agility, company skill set, and generalism. It is important nowadays to be active and stay able to change directions when needed. And I've been telling you already, it's been needed a lot of time. So in case time gets troublesome, enjoy your executive advice from systemgorilla.com. My name is Sepp Grassreiner, and you can reach me anytime you need me. Enjoy your day.